Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Welspun India Q1 FY 2023 conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nihal Jham from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. On behalf of Edelweiss, I would like to welcome you all to the Q1 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Welspun India Limited. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Abhinandan Singh, Head Group Investor Relations at Welspun Group, to introduce management and take it further. Over to you, Abhinandan.
Thanks, Nihal, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Welspun India, I welcome all of you to the company's Q1 FY 2023 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Rajesh Mandariwala, Managing Director, Mr. Altaf Juwani, whom most of you are already familiar with, Mr. Sanjay Gupta, the company's CFO, along with myself. Our CEO, Dipali Goenka, is traveling for customer meetings and therefore is unable to join us on this call. As usual, we will start the forum with some opening remarks by our leadership team, and then we will open the floor for your questions. Once the call gets over, should you have any further queries that remain unanswered post the earnings call, please feel free to reach out to me. With that, I would like to hand over the floor to Mr. Altaf Juwani to share his perspectives. Over to you, Altaf.
Thank you, Abhi. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking time to join us today. It's always a pleasure to interact with all of you. I'd like to begin with a quick snapshot of our operating performance for the quarter and then cover the external environment, followed by our strategy. Subsequently, Sanjay will take you through the financials. During this quarter, overall revenue was rupees 1,979 crores, out of which rupees 1,852 crores was from the core business, that is home textile. As you all know, the environment was extremely challenging. Overall, this has been a great start to the fiscal year for our domestic retail business, which you'll recall has two power brands, Welspun and Spaces. Both these brands delivered a very strong growth and reported revenue growth of 113% year-on-year. This was achieved even after we passed on higher input costs to a large extent, demonstrating the strength of brands. The reach of brand Welspun within the country has further expanded as it now covers almost 500 towns and over 7,800 stores. The branded portfolio recorded growth of 41% year-on-year and 31% quarter-on-quarter, which includes owned and licensed brands across businesses and geographies. During Q1 FY 2023, markets have grown in low and mid-single digits, driven essentially by price growth. However, our brands have witnessed double-digit volume growth. This ahead of the market growth for the brands and the emerging businesses is a testimony of our strategy and agility of our teams. Our investments in the brands and D2C is undoubtedly giving us an edge and is steadily making us as FMCG of home textiles. The share of our branded and e-commerce revenue has steadily moved up to 24% of our total revenue as compared to 16% last quarter. It also gives us immense pleasure to inform you that Welspun India has won the TEXPRO Platinum Trophy for highest global export 12 years in a row. Further, Welspun innovative artificial intelligence project of towel counting and defect detection using AI/ML-based vision system, which is an industry first, has received the NASSCOM AI Game Changer Award as an innovator. Now let me share our assessment of the external environment. Inflation has been a challenge for the industry over the last few quarters. Unfortunately, this bout of inflation has been worse than the past one because prices of several key commodities have inflated to all-time highs simultaneously. Be it cotton, crude, caustic soda, ocean freight, the price increases are at historical highs. I do acknowledge that there has been a very recent cooling off in a few commodities. However, they still remain significantly elevated versus the long-term averages. The softening is very recent to conclude that the correction has finally kicked in. The forward rates for cotton are indicating significant reduction in prices. In such inflationary scenario, it is but natural for consumers to withdraw their spend, at least for discretionary items. The consumers world over are prioritizing essential categories to manage their budget, and we are seeing the same trend in the US and Western economies. Most large retailers in US have revised their profit guidance for the year, A, due to change in consumer spending trends, where consumers are spending more on food and less on higher margin merchandise, and B, due to offloading high inventory buildup by offering steep markdowns. Recent data from the US that came out last month showed that US inflation hit a fresh 40-year high, with the consumer price index rising 8.6% year-on-year. In the UK too, as per data released a few days ago, CPI was up by 9.4% in the last 12 months. As per US Department of Commerce, the US retail trade and food services sector grew by 8.1% year-on-year between April to June quarter. This is, however, a deceleration from 12.9% increase year-on-year registered in the previous quarter, that is Jan to March 2022. Month-on-month, the growth during June 2022 was 1%. This clearly reflects a softening compared to preceding quarters, and this trend might sustain for a while. In this challenging time, as we have continued to articulate in the past few quarters, we have two specific imperatives. First, we need to maintain our competitive edge that comes from a highly differentiated business model. I have earlier shared updates on the branded and domestic side of the business. Flooring also followed suit with revenue at rupees 169 crore, growing 40% year-on-year. Sales momentum is coming on domestic flooring business, seeing a healthy growth of 108% year-on-year. D2C business is picking up good traction in all five key cities where it has been launched. Flooring exports, however, continue to face challenges due to input cost pressure and high ocean freight. Further increase in mortgage rates will have its impact on housing demand in the US. Second, we need to continue focus on building the organization for the future driven by purpose. In the past quarter, we continued our efforts to demonstrate ESG leadership through our work on the sustainability front, with circularity embedded in our operations, and ensure that we keep strengthening our position on each of the E, S, and G parameters. We were pleased to note the recognition received once again with Wellspun India's industry-leading score by CRISIL in its Sustainability Yearbook 2022 that was released during May. The company has been rated strong in that report, where CRISIL analyzed over 575 companies across 53 sectors on ESG. Wellspun India leads among textile companies with the highest scores in each of these three dimensions of environment, social and governance. Texpro Steel 2 has awarded Wellspun with a gold trophy for special achievement in made-up for sustainability initiatives. Through these unprecedented challenging times, the company has shown great resilience through an unmatched combination of scale, quality, innovation and deep customer relationships, which clearly sets us apart from the rest of the players in the industry. Our investments in brand and D2C initiatives globally have started giving the desired results, and we expect the momentum to propel future growth through our D2C initiatives and our emerging businesses. We would again reiterate that while the medium to long-term fundamentals of the business remain strong, these couple of quarters are a bit challenging following the deteriorating global environment. With the downward trend of commodity prices and as the consumer sentiment improved, we expect the operating performance would start reflecting the same. With this, I'd like to hand over to Sanjay, who will take you through the financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you, Arta. And greetings, everyone. I'll briefly discuss the financial highlights for the quarter, and then we will be happy to open the forum for your questions. From the financial perspective, Quarter 1 Financial 23 has been a quarter of resilient cash flows and balance sheet with sustained deleveraging. During Quarter 1, we reported revenues of 1979 crore, which was down 12% quarter on quarter and 7% year on year on a like-to-like basis. That is after taking out the impact of Quarter 4 Financial 21 ROHCTL accounted for in Quarter 1 of Financial 22. Compared to last year, volume impact has been about 16%, while price upcharge has been 5% and forex upcharge about 1%. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 174 crore and EBITDA margin was 8.8%, which is lower quarter-on-quarter by 220 basis points, reflecting the impact of highest ever input costs as well as relatively lower volumes. The major impact has been due to increase in cotton prices by about 15% from last quarter. The performance is relatively healthier due to various steps taken by the company in rationalizing costs and achieving better efficiencies across both. Year-on-year, EBITDA margin on a like-to-like basis is lower by 790 basis points, down about 50%. Profit after tax, after minority interest for the quarter is 22 crore vis-a-vis 53 crore last quarter, and the like-to-like 145 crore in quarter one of financial year 22, reflecting the earlier mentioned factors. Our consolidated EPS for quarter one stood at 0.23 rupees per share, vis-a-vis 0.53 per share last quarter, and 1.3 rupees on a like-to-like basis in quarter one financial year 22. On the forex front, we have been consistently following the board-approved policy to hedge 45% to 65% of our receivables on a rolling 12-month basis. Our average exchange realization for the US dollar during quarter one of financial year 23 was rupees 77.13 compared to rupees 75.77 in the corresponding quarter last year. Going forward, while these pressures might linger in the near term, we expect improvement as prices of cotton, coal and freight soften. An uptick in sales volume post inventory decongestion should also help on both the top line and resultant margin front. As you are already aware, central banks worldwide, including in India, have acted to counter inflation by raising interest rates. With the existing geopolitical factors and the accompanying inflationary situation sustaining, or in some cases even exacerbating, the possibility of further tightening cannot be ruled out. We believe that our ability to continually deleverage and maintain debt levels at a very healthy level will stand us in good stead. During quarter one of financial 23, we saw some positive impacts starting to stream in from measures undertaken to enhance efficiencies and improve cash flows, even as we did not shy away from investing in innovation or brand building that are key drivers of our long-term growth. As a result, at the end of quarter one of financial year 23, net debt stood at 2,139 crore. This is 90 crore lower than 2,229 crore as at a quarter ago and 110 crore lower than 2,249 crore a year ago. In addition, we have in hand e-scripts of ROSCTL and ROSTEF amounting to rupees 400 crore. Over the past 3 years, our net debt has consistently been coming down from 3,028 crore at the end of financial year 29 to 2,139 crore at the end of quarter one of financial year 23, a reduction of 30%. The expansion projects of flooring, advanced textile and home textile businesses, which were in different stages of progress, had some balanced capex of about 200 crore remaining, which we plan to complete during financial year 23. In quarter one of financial year 23, we spent 85 crore towards these, and the balance would be spent in the course of future quarters. Coming to segmental results, quarter one of financial year 23 core business home textile revenue stood at 1,852 crore versus 2,073 crore in quarter four and like-to-like 2,023 crore during the same period last year. Quarter one EBITDA of home textile stood at 172 crore at 9.3% as compared to 11.6% quarter on quarter. During the quarter, revenue from flooring business was 169 crore, up 40% year-on-year. EBITDA was at near break-even at 2 crore as compared to a loss of 26 crore year-on-year. We are deeply encouraged to see the growth in patterns in all of our emerging businesses, and it continues to endorse the confidence we have in our strategy. Emerging growth businesses, which include branded business, e-commerce business, flooring and advanced textiles, cumulatively grew by 40% year-on-year and contributed 37% to the top line during quarter one, versus 21% in quarter one of financial year 22 and 26% in the previous quarter. With this, I leave the floor open for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aman from Augmenta Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I actually wanted to ask about how has been the order inquiries, or we can say order book, from the U.S. retailers in this quarter, or we can say for the upcoming quarters, given the fears of recession pending and huge inventory on the books of the retailers. Well, like, can you throw some light on this thing?
So, good question, Aman, and it's a million-dollar question. It's clear that in the developed markets that the spending is veering towards services and experiences, which is travel, restaurants, just having a good time. So it is moving away from products, and particularly discretionary products, and that includes our home textile products as well. So we have been witnessing a slowdown in demand. And this has been going on for the last couple of quarters, and there has been a very aggressive promotion strategy by our customers to push this excess inventory out of their doors. But there's still a lot of inventory that they are carrying, not only this in home products but also in electronics and so on and so forth. So there is a drive to get rid of this, and there's been some guidance revisions from some of our large customers. So I'm afraid it doesn't look good for the next quarter at least. And this our hope is that this, as we get into the holiday season, Christmas season shipping, which is sometime in September, October, that there should be some revival that we should see. But as of now, it is not it's not looking good. And the mood and the confidence with our customer buying teams is circumspect. So this you have at least another quarter of pain on the demand side just ahead of us.
And sir, second question regarding, let's say, like, if I'm not wrong, we are integrated to the tune of 25 to 30% in the yarn side. And if I want to ask regarding how has been the yarn prices, or how has been our procurement on the yarn? Because we have heard from the spinners, and even that, like, they have halted the production, like around 30 to 35% of the spinning mills in India are shut down currently. So how has been the like prices on the yarn side? How are they behaving, like the procurement we do from outside?
So with the reduced this order flow and reduced volume, so we are not honestly procuring much. And there is procurement, but we are not procuring as much as we used to, and making most of the yarn that we need this within our spinning facilities. Generally, you take a 1 or 2 quarter forward view. So December futures today are trading at about 94, 95 cents. And even cotton in India is being offered at between, let's say, the 65 and 70,000 over the last 10, 15 days. Or a little more than that, cotton futures cotton in India is also trading between 65 and 70,000. So it's an open this world, so everybody knows about that. The spot prices of cotton are in the 80,000, 85,000, 84,000 range. So the customers are waiting, and everybody is in that circumspect mode. So the yarn prices are already adjusting to the future cotton prices. So, at the 70,000, 75,000 range. So yarn prices have significantly come down. I think the yarn deltas have also significantly come down because this irrespective of whatever cost that spinning mills have bought their cotton at, but they have to adjust their prices to the current reality. And the suggestive prices for December are about 65,000-70,000 today. So the yarn prices have definitely adjusted downwards.
Okay. And sir, one more question about we are reading that currently during this cotton season in India, India would have a deficit and we might have to rely on imports because the crop is good, but it is a bit low because of the weather and the fish thing. So how is the cotton scenario building in India? Because if we think of this scenario whether in the case we have to import on the cotton and there would be a good demand for cotton in India, so are we expecting the prices to remain at the same level? You have mentioned that it would be around 65,000 to 70,000 it is quoting at 65,000 to 70,000 for the November futures. So how is the cotton scenario? Because the crop is low as compared to the last year, right?
The past crop was lower. So, this as we started the previous season, 21-22, so the estimates started at 340 lakh bales, and then this through the course of the year, now let's say this, it looks like the crop is not going to be more than 295. So India has almost run out of the last crop cotton, which is 21-22. But the good news here is that the new crop, which will start arriving in September, is progressing well. I think the plantings are going to be, in the 5-7% higher range. And year to date, right at the current situation, it's about 5% higher than where it was last year. And so far, this while whatever we have heard on the weather side in India, but overall the crop situation is looking good. Trade is estimating the next 22-23 crop, which starts arriving in September, to be around the 340-350 lakh bales level. So the crop, as of now, the crop situation in India is looking quite decent, with say 5-7% higher planting and hopefully better yields as compared to last year, because the last year the yields were horrible, the quality was horrible. So hopefully that should get better. Coming to your question on imports, I doubt, because the spot prices even now are significantly higher, and when you know that the futures are trading at a 20-25% discount, so it will be harakiri to actually contract new imports now. So not much in new imports will happen. Yes, imports did happen, I think, until June, and those arrivals will keep coming up to September, October. But this, I don't see more import contracts getting transacted at this moment, and people will wait it out for the new crop to arrive. And it's not too distant, it's not too far away. So end of September, the arrivals will start. So just a couple of months, and the industry is operating, best on a best guess basis at about 65%. So the spinning industry is at about 65%. So consuming a significant lesser amount of cotton. So I think people will wait it out, and at these higher levels, spot purchases of cotton, whether in the domestic or international markets, are likely to be meager.
Okay, sir. And sir, to summarize the whole scenario that is going on across the whole value chain, can we just say that everyone is just on a wait and watch mode because the prices are decreasing and there's a fall in demand? So everyone is on a wait and watch mode on procuring the raw materials or the if you can say the major retailers on giving the orders, to summarize the whole issue?
Yes. You could say that. So that is the situation. So nobody wants to take a position right now at higher prices, and it's across the board, across the value chain. So having said that, demand in India is holding up well, Aman, and here, let's say this, we don't see, while there's a huge rhetoric about recession and inflation, but I think this demand in India is holding up well, and so to that extent, the productions and the consumptions will continue to happen, but I don't think many positions would get taken on the basis of the international markets, at least not until the new crop arrives.
And also, sir, in the last quarter we saw that I'll get back in the queue.
Yeah, please. The next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from Emkay Global. Before we take the next question, I would request all the participants to limit their questions to one per participant. Please proceed.
Okay, sir. Just on the present gross margin numbers, is it fair to assume that buying at the spot currently and selling at the current spot of your product is giving these low gross margins, or because we had some higher cost inventory, is the reason for this margins?
So, good question, Abhineet. So this, what you see in this quarter is, you know, so the highest cost inventory is still not consumed. So this is from cotton that was bought before the quarter, and so I'm afraid the margins will continue to remain under pressure. In fact, they'll worsen because from July to September, the highest cost inventory is likely to get consumed. But the good news is that it'll get consumed in this quarter, and which is the ensuing quarter, July to September. And thereafter, let's say this from the October quarter onwards, the average cotton consumption rates should this significantly improve. So the margins will continue to remain under pressure. The next quarter is likely to be, in fact, this even more severe pressure on the margin. So, but ensuing the back half of the year, I think we should hit the bottom in the second quarter, slight improvement in the third one, and, you know, hopefully significant improvement coming from the fourth quarter of the current financial.
Okay, thanks, sir.
I would request the participants to join the queue if they have a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Taran Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Three questions from my side. One, if I look at your branded e-commerce business, international, that seems to be doing reasonably well despite all the commentary around inflation. So if you could just comment in terms of what's really happening there, and are there efforts or is it because of the segment that you're playing in? That's number one. Number two, there is a certain bit of seasonality with your textiles business, with September being the heaviest month. I mean, is there a seasonality associated to your flooring business as well? That's number two. And number three, in your opening comments, you spoke about 400 crores of scrip. What is the realizable value of this 400 crores? I mean, historically, how much do you realize out of those scrip values? Yeah, those are three questions for me. Thanks.
Good, Taran. So to address your first one first, which is about our branded international business. So you, all of you have heard Dipali, you know, constantly talking about our focus on the brands for the last couple of years. And the international brand business is, so it's just maturing. It's all the effort that we have taken over the last 2-3 years, which is now, you know, this bearing this fruits and showing, you know, better top line. So the effort has been going on for the last 2-3 years, and what you see is the culmination of that effort. So, and the effort will continue. In fact, we are looking at more opportunities and more licenses. And we have licensed decent brands like Martha Stewart. So that they're continuing to show good traction, and hopefully will continue to show good traction as we go forward as well. On your second question on seasonality in the flooring business, so it is not as stark as it is as you would see this with the other textile businesses. Having said that, you know, the demand scenario is almost similar, and you know, with falling commodity prices, you know, customers even on that side, particularly the international customers, want to wait, and you know, they want to see the bottom of the commodities before transacting new businesses. And all this noise around recession in the developed markets is making customers very circumspect. So it's not so much seasonality, but this the demand situation in the international markets, even for the flooring business, is a little circumspect right now. So that was your second one, and the third one is about the scrip. So the current premiums are in the 90-92% range. So the realizable value would be 90-92% of the 400 crores which Sanjay mentioned.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Biplab Debbarma from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hope all is well with you. Sir, I have three questions. First question is, so basically my understanding is that both the demand and the input costs, especially cotton price, are the key pain factors for the home textiles. And definitely you want to see situation improving in both. But just trying to understand which is more severe. I mean, if you are given an option, I mean, you want both to improve, but which one would you desire to see first, improving demand or cotton cost going down significantly? Just trying to understand the pain factor, which is more serious.
Yeah. So Biplab, I think the correction on the input cost side is the more, let's say this, desirable in the near future from our perspective. And there's a reason to it. See, this when commodity prices are correcting, it is everybody, it's a natural tendency for everyone to hold procurement and the consequence of that is then let's say this the demand as well. So clearly input costs, and this I want to, while there is input costs, I want to highlight that it is not only cotton. So there's also energy, which is a significant cost in the textile supply chain, whether it is with spinning of cotton or weaving of cotton or the downstream processes. So energy costs are also an important input, and the third very important element of cost is also ocean freights. So ocean freights, as you all know, this went through the roof, and the US freight rates one saw freights rising up to $14,000-$15,000 for a 40-foot container. Now thankfully there is some correction that is happening on cotton, which was at about $1,00,000-$1,05,000 at peak. Now December is already getting quoted at 65,000-70,000. Freights which were just touching 14,000-15,000 currently are in the 9,000-10,000 range, and we also understand that there's not enough, let's say, this loading of the vessels, and there are a lot of cancellations of sailings that are happening out of India. So logically speaking, it should put pressure on freights. And while our friends in the shipping industry won't agree with this, but end of the day you can't fight a demand situation. So we see cotton and freights correcting. I'm not so sure about coal and oil. So with the geopolitical factors this playing out there. So out of these three key elements of input costs, I think two will look like correcting, and the energy might actually this take a little longer, or this the jury is out on that. Coming to the demand, so this, we have gone through these cycles before, so this is not the first time you see a breakdown in demand. So this, I'm assuming that people will continue to sleep, and I'm also assuming that people will continue to have a bath. So as long as that happens, demand will return. It will return when, let's say, this the prices are good enough for a discretionary spend, and this with correcting input cost situations. Now, this, one could argue that it is, how much time is it going to take? Is it one quarter or two quarters or more? So the argument could be on how much time it will take, but that the demand will resurrect, I think one should not have a doubt on that. So we also saw unprecedented demand, let's say, in the whole of 2021. So it was unthinkable, unprecedented, 20-30% this extra let's say this sales out of our customers' door. So some leveling out possibly is happening, and so it will return. So it's only a matter of time, whether this, as I said, one could argue it is one, two, or three quarters, but demand will definitely return.
Thank you, sir. Good to know that there are some respites in some input costs, and we are also optimistic about the demand, maybe in 2-3 quarters. My second question is on the, this. Please correct me if I'm wrong. If my understanding is correct, cotton prices in the quarter or in the last few months, although has gone up initially, but later has gone down. So if this cotton prices reduces further, we are hearing some good news from our agriculture analyst also. So if cotton price reduces further or hovers around the current level, should we expect better margins going forward into second half of FY23? Just assume that everything remaining the same. The cotton prices gone down or at the current level? And if that is the case, what level of margin should we expect?
Even the current spot prices are high, Biplab, in India. So they are still hovering around the 82,000, 83,000, 84,000 range. So the business is not viable at the current prices. So the cotton prices need to be in the 60s and, you know, 60,000, 65,000 for respectable margins in the industry to return. Symptoms are there. So as I said, you know, the futures December, it has actually seen 63,000, 64,000 a couple of weeks back, moved up to about 68,000, 69,000, and it's actually, you know, this ranging between that level. So you know, this closer to 60, you know, the industry should start seeing comfortable margins. And when I say industry, it is across the value chain. You know, this north of 70, you know, margins will definitely improve. So 70 is definitely better than 1 lakh. But you know, this so you know, for old kind of margins to return, you know, this you need to see prices closer to 60 than 70. But as I said, 70 is definitely better than 90,000 and 1 lakh. So, you know, the abysmal margins that one has seen in this quarter and possibly will see in the ensuing quarter, which I believe will be the worst one for the industry. And you know, so it will definitely get better from there. But for old, you know, reasonable levels of margin to return, we'll need to see cotton at about 60,000 levels. And also, you know, this... some correction on the freight as well as the other input costs as well. The one good thing is, you know, the currency is working in favor. So, you know, this once our old hedges run out, so, you know, this our future, when we, let's say this, you talk about the next financial year. So this already the exchange rate realization will be higher. So, you know, there's some positive, you know, that will come out of that as well. And it's been a significant movement on the Indian rupee to the dollar. So, you know, those will, you know, possibly help margin resurrection. So, you know, but, you know, end of the day, the costs need to get rationalized because, as you rightly said, it's linked to demand. And, you know, margin is a function of input cost and also, let's say, this good demand. So, you know, both need to resurrect. And I suspect the resurrection, complete resurrection will happen around the 60,000 cotton mark and, you know, possibly some respite on the energy cost, maybe about, you know, 78, 75, 80 to the oil price and freight further correcting to about, you know, this 6,000 or odd or around those levels. So, you know, you see those levels, you'll see industry returning back to the average historic margins that the industry saw.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That was a very elaborate answer. Thank you, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Monish Ghodke from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, for 1 kg of towel, how much cotton would be required and what is the backward integration which we have for that? And likewise, for 1 meter of bedsheet, how much cotton is required and what is the backward integration?
So, no, there's no straight answer to this, Monish. It depends on the kind of yarn you make, but on an average, let's say, you know, this you would recover 70% from virgin cotton on a combed cotton yarn. So you would recover about 87% on carded yarns and north of 90. But, you know, with this sustainability drive that this we as a company has taken, so, you know, this we reprocess and recycle, you know, several times and try to extract as much, you know, as much of lint cotton out of whatever that we buy. So, you know, on an average, this what we sell or lose would be in single digits. So, you know, we try and recover as much as we can. And, so that would so much be. And, at peak capacity, we are about 60-65% of yarn production to our needs. But now that the demand is lower, so we obviously, the in-house capacity to make yarns is as a percentage a little higher than this where we would operate on a, let's say, this comfortable utilization of capacity.
So 1 meter of bed sheet, how much cotton will be needed?
So about two kilos. Again, a thumb rule number, say about 2.5 kilos.
Okay.
And for a towel, you would need a kilo and maybe 250, 300 grams.
Okay. And so towel versus bed sheet, which is more profitable on EBITDA margin front on an average?
Keeps changing. Historically, towel has been the more profitable business for us. Right now, it is the most painful, to be honest with you. And when things return, we believe that the margins on the towel is, this will be definitely better than on sheets.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Nigam from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, two questions from me. So one, on the flooring side, is there any kind of medium-term guidance which you are able to provide either with respect to revenue or EBITDA margin? So that is one. And second, if you can share your CAPEX guidance for FY 23 and 24. Thanks.
Good. So that's right now, let's say, to make a guidance would be, this misguiding you people. So, this I would refrain from that. See, this you would have seen over the last 3-4 months that, our key customers are constantly revising guidance and, this I want to refrain from doing that. And in a volatile commodity pricing situation. So right now, it will be, important for me to tell you that what we are seeing on the home side, we are seeing it in the flooring business as well. So with reduction in commodity prices, raw material prices, there is a wait and watch thing that is going on. My answer will have to be roundabout on the margin side. One thing is certain, the second quarter is going to be, margin pressure. The third, I believe that we'll hit the bottom in the second one, and third onwards, we should start seeing improvement. And as I said, for it to resurrect, those three input costs that I mentioned, now, we would need those for our margins to resurrect themselves to our historic levels. And it looks possible to me. So to be honest with you, it's not hoping. The costs are moving in the right direction. So, it's not unlikely that those costs will get achieved. But the jury is out whether, they'll get achieved in the December quarter or the March quarter, or it will take longer. So, I do not want to misguide all you people, by providing a guidance which, this tomorrow, this will need to go out and change.
So, no worries. And on the CAPEX side, are you able to, sort of give a guesstimate? Or how that looks?
As we mentioned, so during the financial year 23, all the projects that were under completion will get completed, and there is a plan for to spend 200 crore during the year. Out of this, 85 crore is already spent, and the balance would be spent during the remaining year.
And also, there are no new projects we are undertaking. So anything new is on hold. So we'll wait for things to get a little better from here. And there's still a lot of, unutilized capacity right now. So there's no need for us to rush into anything. And so everything new is put on hold. So, Sanjay put a number to it, about 115 or 125 crores is the balance CAPEX that remains. And once we get past that, there's nothing new that at this moment we wish to undertake.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'll come back in with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naisar Parekh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is that, you know, besides hoping that the costs obviously will come down, which hopefully will, but, you know, if they remain at this level for some time, you know, what is, you know, our, you know, sort of backup plan or strategy? You know, many companies are obviously looking at either some sort of, you know, cost rationalization of the OPEX level and premiumization where possible and things like that. So what are the other initiatives that we are doing to ensure that, you know, we get some bump up to margins?
So again, a very good question. And on that, look, I'm very proud of the work that the company is doing. And there's just not one line item of cost on which work is not happening in the company, and which is starting from, let's say, this the yields to you know, this the variable costs and the specific consumptions on utilities to the every line item on the fixed cost. So and you know, the significant of part of that is already done. A lot of new initiatives are underway. So you know this, as I said, I'm very proud of the work that that is getting done in the company. And look, you know, these are unusual times, and you know, there's nothing that shakes our belief in the business or that which is warranting us to change our strategy. And you know, we are happy, we are seeing let's say this, as this, all our key initiatives are yielding good results, are making progress. So as I said, as you know, the branded business is doing this exceedingly well for us, and also, you know, the distribution, the way it is coming up with between Spaces and Wellspun, almost 7,500 doors. So all that good work is happening, Nisar, and there's nothing that we are seeing here, you know, which shakes, let's say this, our faith in the business or in our strategy. So, you know, these are unusual times. You have to ride through them, you know, take as much cost out of your business, continue to innovate, which has been a hallmark of the company. And, you know, this, and clearly see this, you are seeing symptoms, no? So cotton is, you know, from a peak of 1,05,000, now, you know, this, I could buy cotton today at 68,000 for December. You know, this, ocean freights are coming down. The only area where possibly, you know, this one can't be certain is possibly, you know, this energy prices. But then exchange rate will give a lot of coverage as we get into the next financial year. The domestic business, our domestic brands are going at a, are growing in the 25 to 35% range. The flooring business has EBITDA break even. So, you know, so everything, that every strategic initiative of the company is headed in the right direction. And, you know, this, give or take a couple of years, these will all become meaningful parts of the business. And, you know, so there's nothing that is happening out there, you know, which makes us, you know, this less confident about our business. We believe our margins will return. We believe our top line will return. And we believe all our key strategic initiatives are in the right place. And, you know, this, we are doing what we can to, in the meanwhile, you know, this, right, this difficult period, you know, take as much cost out of the business, innovate as much as we can, create new products, you know, and be get as close to the customers. So the fact that, you know, this Dipali is not on this call is a testimony of that. So she chose to be in front of the customers, and you know, this, and you guys will like us more if the customers like us. So, you know, so we are doing all that we can take to ride over these times. But, you know, give or take a couple of quarters, I think, you know, as I said, that you know, things are hitting the trough, and you can now start seeing you know, this light at the end of the tunnel, and demand will also certainly return. So, you know, we stay confident with our business, Nisar.
Got it. And just a second follow-up, right, on the demand side, you know, what percentage of your business would be core, which is like just the annual replenishment that you do to your regular customers, and how is that, you know, what has been the impact on that particular side of the business?
So look, you know, this almost 85-90% of our business is replenishment, and normally it is predictable. So, you know, in unusual times, you can't, you know, this, it will go this here and there by 5-7%, but these are unusual times as we discuss. So that way, the home business is quite predictable, and as I said, 85-90% is the repeat kind of business.
Got it. And on that, we are seeing the order backlog reduced by how much?
Significantly. So, you know, it will be unfair for me to put a number to it. I think this quarter results are giving you an indication. So, you know, it's not likely to improve significantly, at least in the second one. But we do hope that the third quarter onwards that we will see better demand.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had one question on flooring and one on home textiles. So in home textiles, we have been operating since a very long, since decades actually. But volatility in the demand in the last few years have been much higher because of either inventory write-downs by retailers or a recession. So in last one decade, there has been a lot of volatility. So in your experience, how much time generally it takes for retailers to come back? I mean, already some of the demand, some of the destruction has already happened. Just trying to understand, is it fair to assume that it takes around 9 to 12 months for retailers to come back in full-fledged demand after clearing up their inventories or consumer, purchases starts coming back to the industry? Because as you rightly said, demand will come back, that's for sure. But just trying to understand the general period of coming back.
Okay, good question, Prerna. So historically, see, in a normal cyclical recession, we've seen demand getting restored over a 2-3 quarter period. And, you know, and it's always happened that way. And in some recessions, we have also seen that demand actually doesn't reduce. So, you know, this, when people tend to stay more at home, demand for home products actually doesn't reduce. So it was in 2008, we saw, let's say, there's a negative growth on the top line. But other than that, to the best of my memory, that every single year we have grown our top line, and we've gone through, let's say, this three recessions in the life of this business. But as you know, this time it has been a little unusual. So, you know, A, there was a COVID disruption that came, and then there was this resurgence of demand because people stayed at home and their money in their banks to splurge on, and you know, so there was an unusual demand. So I suspect this time the cycle is going to be about, you know, this more 12 to 15 months. And out of that, you look, the demand going down is already, you know, this is the third quarter where we are actually seeing a reduced demand. So I suspect we are, you know, this another couple of quarters away where, you know, this the resurrection of demand should start happening. So this time, you know, to put numbers, past may 9 months, three quarters, this time it could be five. So, you know, this and we have passed three already. So, you know, hopefully another two quarters and we should start seeing the demand research.
So, thank you. That was helpful. So, second question was on flooring business. Do we see any challenges in the flooring business demand in case U.S. Reduces tariffs on China in certain categories? Because that where we are at cost structure against China in this business is something which we are not yet very clear.
Yeah. So again, good question. And so this there will be no demand destruction, Prerna. So on that we are very clear. The China plus one thing is playing out. And if at all, this time it has never been more pronounced than it is that we are seeing it right now. And I see that as a long-term, medium to long-term positive for our business as well as, let's say, for India in general. So, you know, and this time it appears to me as sticking and you know, it will stay very strong. So, so our customers are very, very forcefully, you know, this are looking to reorient their supply chain. Now, coming to the tariffs, so, you know, when the tariffs came, the world readjusted. So, you know, the margins in the industry, you know, this give or take 2 or 3 points or 4 points here and there, but the industry adjusts. And I suspect the same will happen. I think as and when the tariffs go away, someday they will go away. So as and when they go away, the margins adjust. So, you know, when a country gets slapped with an anti-dumping duty or a tariff, the margins in that country, you know, this disappear. And this when the whole so the suppliers absorb the hit, most of the hit, and when the tariff this gets eliminated, they would want their margins back. So no company, no business can survive forever making no margin. So I have seen this happen with anti-dumping duty, anti-subsidy duty. So give or take 2-3 quarters, the margins adjust. So this I wouldn't be too concerned with that. Yes, it will. This as and when it happens. 1 or 2 quarters here and there, but this otherwise inevitably, I think the margins return and the demand, as I said, the China plus one is for real. There'll be no dearth of demand, and let me tell you, there'll be no dearth of demand not only for the flooring products but for the home products as well. As we this come out of this difficult geopolitical situation.
Thank you, sir. This is quite detailed, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umesh Matkar from Sushil Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So just one question I had. With the increase in the commodity prices in India, do you see a market share shift to other global players, or even the other global players are also facing same pressure as we are facing? Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
So look, I can talk about the home business. So I think everybody is in the same boat, whether it is India, a Chinese player, or it is from Pakistan. So these I would think are the key three players as far as the home textile business is concerned. So I think the cost impact has hit everyone. And the consequence of that has been, this reduction in demand, which is linked to A, input costs, and B, let's say rebalancing with the services consumption. So yes, sabhi jagah pe chal raha hai. Yes, because of a very high estimate on crop last year of 340 lakh bales, which actually turned out to be 290-95. So I think, the industry got caught on the wrong foot in terms of procuring their cotton, timing their cotton well, and the consequence of that is for this whole year the Indian cotton prices were 15-20% higher than the global cotton prices. But I think the next crop with the higher acreage and hopefully some respectable yield is likely to be much higher than last year. Last year was abysmal, so once that happens, I think the cotton price parity will also return, and this should be within 5% plus or minus. So this overall structurally, I think when things rebalance, I think we should be where we are. And one could argue again, as this will take how many quarters for us to get there, but it looks like with the new crop let's say the global markets adjusting for commodities and the recessionary trends and the rebalancing of the services, I think things will get back to normal. Maybe if not two, maybe three quarters, but it will get there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhinandan Singh, Group Head Investors Relations, for closing comments.
Thanks, and let me on behalf of the entire team once again thank all of you for taking the time, interest, and for your insightful questions. As I said earlier, please feel free to reach out to me for any unanswered questions or any clarifications that you might have. Look forward to seeing you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.